Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Hai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Hai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Hai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Hai. And the men of Hai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the cursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now that thou hast done, I will restart verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll proceed in what God has for us today. Father in heaven, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would again be with the needs of each and every one that's represented here today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the needs of those who are tuned in. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person. Lord, I first of all want to pray for the need of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts. Father, I pray that those who do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would accept you. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you again would be with those who are carrying burdens and, Lord, things in their heart and their life. Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they could bring that before you and, Lord, get things the way they need to be. And Father, I just pray that you would be with the burden that's in their life. And Lord, I pray that you would just intervene. And Lord, some of it's due to sickness, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with those situations. And Father, I pray for your will to be done. And Lord, I do pray for Brother Jones, Lord. I pray that you would empower him from on high where he is today, Lord. And that you would help him, Lord, as he preaches and represents our church and represents you. And Father, we'll just love and thank you for all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at what we have here today in Joshua chapter 7, and just kind of going back a little bit, just to get us up to chapter 7, in Joshua chapter 1, as we've talked about before, God worked on changing leadership. He changed the leadership from Moses to Joshua. And and again, it wasn't because Moses was bad. It's because the Lord wanted to continue the work that he had started amongst the children of Israel. And Moses had taken the children of Israel as far as God would have him take them. And now it was time for Joshua to take them further to where they needed to go. Well, and we know that there were several obstacles that they faced right away. And of course, the first one was getting across Jordan. And praise the Lord, God showed himself mighty and powerful because as he spoke to Joshua, and Joshua encouraged the people, within 3 days, we're moving. And so within 3 days, the Ark of the Covenant passed through, and they headed towards the Jordan River. And just on the other side of Jordan River would be the first challenge that the children of Israel would run into after they crossed the Jordan River. Now, what's really interesting is as they crossed the Jordan River, that is something that probably some of them remembered mom and dad talk about. You say, well, what do you mean remembered mom and dad talked about? Well, you see, the kids that were left, and the kids that were left alive at this particular time were the children of those who, when God said move and go, they disobeyed and they told God, no, the people in the promised land, they're too big, they're too great, we can't come out victorious, we can't win, even though God said, I'll give them to you, they're yours, you can take them. And of course we know that about the spies and everything, but they crossed the river and of course, you know, I'll tell you again, everything in the work of the Lord takes faith, because as I think of the men, the Bible says that the men who bore the ark, the water did not rescind and go back and walk over on dry land until the men who were carrying the ark stepped into the Jordan. And once they did that, the waters were parted from side to side, and the children of Israel walked through, the Bible says, on dry ground. And they walked right into near Jericho, where their next challenge would be. And God, through everything, just really showed Joshua exactly where he wanted him to go, exactly what he wanted him to do, when he wanted him to do it, and how he wanted him to do it. And when they got through and they were on the other side, and Joshua, he sent some spies into Jericho. And this time he only sent two spies, and they went and they looked at the land and praised the Lord. They had learned from past mistakes. They come back with a good report and mentioned that they were grasshoppers in the sight of the people that they would go fight and defend. But they said, God's on our side. We can defeat them. We have no trouble. And so as they prepared for the battle of Jericho, it was an interesting battle. In Joshua chapter 5, and if at some time, if you'll go back and take a look at that, I'd encourage you to do that and start reading through that in Joshua chapter 5. And what we're going to do is we're going to back up to Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13. And I want to show you something here unique, how God directs and how God shows the man of God what he wants him to know, when he wants him to know. And God makes sure that his point is clear and direction is clear. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13 and through 15. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou shouldest stand is holy. And Joshua did so." Now, you know, where do we see that before? Is it the burning bush? When God showed up and told Moses, "Okay, Moses, I want you to leave the backside of the desert here, and I want you to go, and I want you to bring my children out of Egypt, and I want you to deliver them." And he gave Moses instructions. And of course, you know, Moses, like us many times, had all kinds of excuses of why he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. And God filled in all the blanks there. But many years later, after 40 years in the wilderness, and God told Joshua to lead the people across the Jordan, and Joshua was following the things that the man of God or that God had told him to do, and now Joshua's over there, and the battle's in front of him. They had sent out the spy, and they were looking things over, and then suddenly, as the Bible tells us here, Joshua was walking around and he saw a man standing with his sword drawn. And of course, as we read that scripture on, we find out that was not an adversary. He was none other, as you look at what the Bible says here. And he said, "Nay," in verse number 14, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And I want to point that out to you in the Word of God. That word "Lord" is all capitalized. Joshua got a visit from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself came down and said, I'm captain of the host. And I'm with you, I'm for you. And Joshua, what you need to do now is where you stand is holy ground, take off your shoes. And so the Lord came and gave Joshua some instructions. He told him exactly how he wanted him. And as you read on into chapter 6, and we're not going to read all that, but as you read on in chapter 6, what the Lord told Joshua is exactly what he wanted Joshua to do, exactly how he wanted the battle to be fought, the battle of Jericho. You know, I would dare say it was probably not what Joshua was expecting at this time. You know, Joshua, he was a man of war. He had been involved in war, and he had fought, and generally those wars were fought with swords. Wars were fought with spears and shields, and they were very involved, and you know, Joshua was prepared for that. I would dare say he was probably prepared for that. He had been taught for that. And I'm sure he probably had been training the young men on how to fight. But God had a different plan. God had a situation that he wanted to show Joshua exactly who he was and how it should be, and that if the children of Israel ever stood a chance of conquering the promised land, they were going to have to do it his way. And we know as the instructions that the Lord gave him that they were to go into the land. And they were to approach Jericho. And every day they were to encompass the city, a walled city. Now the Bible, what tells us in Joshua chapter 6 is that the children of Jericho, once the children of Israel come across Jordan, they got in the city, they closed it up, and the Bible says there was none going in and there was none going out. You know, they were preparing for bloodshed. They were preparing for a war, and they were going to make sure that the children of Israel didn't get in. And so the Lord told Joshua that they were to encompass the city once every day, to go around the city. They were not to speak. They were not to say anything. They were just to go around the city. And they did that for several days. Now can you imagine by the last day, the sixth day, what the people of Jericho might have been shouting down on the wall? You know, I'm sure now again, I put myself in, you know, I'm kind of putting a little bit in here, but yeah, I kind of put myself in the people of Jericho, and I'd probably, you know, knock a plant off the wall, you know, or, you know, throw some water, you know, down on everybody walking around there. And it really seemed to be very strange. It was very strange for Joshua. It was very strange for the children of Israel, and it was very strange for the people of Jericho. But you see, God put conditions on conquering Jericho. And the conditions were to follow his instructions completely and to the letter. And that was to walk around once a day. And then on the seventh day, they were to walk around the city seven times. And the Bible says that when the priest sounded the trumpet, that the walls would fall down. Now think about that for a minute. Yeah, right. Priests sound the trumpet. The children of Israel were to shout, and then the walls would fall down. Right. Okay. You know, and I dare say there was probably some of the children of Israel thinking, this is a waste of time. This isn't going to pan out like Joshua had it planned. But praise the Lord, they walked around the city. They did what they were told to do. And you know what happened on the seventh day? After they'd gone around it, they shouted, the trumpet sounded, and they shouted aloud, the walls fell down. And they walked right on in with no trouble at all. And there were other instructions that were given. The instructions were that everything within the walls was accursed. Everything was to be destroyed. All possessions, all material things, houses were to be torn down. Because, see, God never intended for Jericho to ever be rebuilt. And all the walls were to be torn down. Everyone was to be killed, men, women, and children. And the gold and silver belonged to the Lord. And it was to be brought to the house of God. Well, that brings us to chapter 7. While all that was going on and the walls fell down and the children of Israel went in and they destroyed everything, tore everything down, with the exception of Rahab. She was delivered according to God's promise. The two spies that went to her house after the walls fell down, except for her section, went into her and her family and all her possessions, and she was taken out, and they were put, the Bible says, without the city. You say, well, that wasn't very nice. Saved them, but they're homeless. Well, praise the Lord, they're alive, as God had promised. You say, well, why was all that important? Why was the total destruction? Why was the why destroy good stuff? Why kill men, women, and children? Well, you see, what God was trying to get across to the children of Israel, that He wanted them holy unto Himself. And in order to do that, what they needed to do is they needed to get sin and keep sin out. You see, because in the area where they were going to conquer, in the area where they were going to drive out the people that were in that land, there was evil things going on. There was idolatry going on. There were inspicable things that were taking place. And what God wanted to make sure is that did not get infused into the children of Israel. And the Bible, Jesus was very clear in His instructions to Joshua. He said, the things in Jericho are accursed. That's why they need to be destroyed. You know what God wants for us, folks? God wants all of the sin out of our life. And that's what He was getting across to the children of Israel, that all the sin that was in Jericho, none of it was worth keeping. But there was one man who decided, hey, no one will never know. There was one man that decided, hey, I can put some of this stuff to good use. There was one man that decided, hey, this gold and this silver, I can use it a little bit more than what God can use it. God's got enough. And so what he did, as we all know the story, he gathered up some Babylonian garments. He gathered up some silver and a wedge of gold. And the Bible says that after the battle was over, he took it home and he buried it in his tent. You know, as I think about what he did with the things that he took, really, what kind of value was they to him? He couldn't show them. He couldn't say, hey, look at my Babylonian garment that I got here. No, he had to hide it. You know, he couldn't say, hey, I've got some spare silver and gold over here. So really, it was not very much value to himself personally or even to anybody else, because it had to be hid. You know, it's really interesting. Sin always has to be hid. Well, things seemed to be going fine. It got time for the battle of Ai. So the men got together and they were rejoicing over the victory of Jericho. And they told Joshua, we'll not take everybody. We'll leave behind some. We only need a couple thousand. They're small people. Hey, you know, I kind of sense a little bit of pride. Hey, we don't need everybody. We have this covered. We don't need all the troops. We just need a few, and we'll go wipe these guys out, and it'll be done. It'll be over. Well, you see, what they didn't realize is God is righteous. God is holy. And when God says something, He means what He says. He means what He says. And so they went to battle. But things didn't quite turn out like they had hoped. They wound up running. And 36 of them were killed. They wound up running all the way back and were chased. People that they thought, hey, we got this in the bag. We ain't worried about them people at AI. We'll destroy them and it'll all be done. It'll all be over. Well, the tables were turned. And the reason was simple. A little hidden sin. Achan didn't take a lot. He only took a little. You know, it only takes a little to mess up a lot. You know, that's why the Bible always uses leaven as a type of sin in the Bible. Because you can, if for those of you who bake, when you go to baking bread, you only put a little bit of yeast in there. You only put a little bit of leaven in there, and what it does is it makes that big and fluffy, and a lot bigger than what it was. And so Achan, he only took a little, and he hid it. But what Achan took, it cost him. It cost him. Now, what's really interesting is we look at what we were reading here in Joshua chapter 19. In Joshua chapter 6. I'll get it right here in a minute. I've got it on my notes here. 7, Joshua chapter 7, in verse number 19. And the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, what thou hast done, hide it not from me." You know, Achan had taken that stuff and he sinned. But you know what's really interesting? All of Israel paid the price for Achan's sin. Now again, I think part of that is because as you go through and you read God charged Achan of in verse number 21, and when I saw, he says, when I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonian garment and two wedges of 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, I took them, and behold, hid them in the earth, hid them in the earth in the midst of my tent. And God goes on to give in what he accused Achan of, and the children of Israel of, in the sin. What we see here, the Lord Jesus, what the charge was of the sin, it was they had transgressed my covenant. You see, the first thing that God pointed out, that Joshua pointed out to Achan, and is the sin of Israel was transgressing the covenant of God. You see, God had greater plans for Israel. and God told Israel, you go and you do what I tell you to do, and you do it how I tell you to do it, there's great victory. There's something that I want for you that's greater than what you can see or that you can understand. And that was, as we know, the children of Israel is where the Lord Jesus Christ came through. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God had always intended that the children of Israel would be a blessing to the entire world. And there was a covenant, there was an agreement made that you do this, and I'll give you this. You see, all they had to do was follow the Lord's instructions, and God promised them that they would possess the land of Israel, that God would deliver them no matter what. And so there was instruction. And then Israel had sinned. They had taken of the accused things. Now again, when it was all handed down, it said Israel. Not just Achan. You say, well, was it Israel's fault? Not necessarily. But you see, many times when we look at our sin and things that we do in our life, we think to ourselves, it's not going to hurt or bother anybody but me. You know, I'm sure when Achan took of what he took, he looked around, thought, well, hey, nobody sees, nobody knows, and for a while, that sin was hid. And he thought, well, this isn't going to bother anybody, and it's not going to affect anybody's life but mine. But you know what he did, or what the Bible says is Israel had taken of the accused thing. They took what God said was wrong, was sin, and they shouldn't have any part of it. You know, as a church, we need to be careful what we let in. Also, as individuals, we need to be careful on what we let in. And what God says is accused, what God says is wrong and is sin, it's wrong. You say, well, you know, A little won't harm me. Well, it may not harm you right now, but I guarantee you it will. But what will it do for those in your home? What will it do for our church? Then the other accusation of sin, the Bible says, they have also stolen. What did God say? That the accused thing that God said was all of the belongings of the children of the people of Jericho. That Babylonian garment that he took, it was an accused thing. It was a thing that God said it'd be better for you if you never had that. Then they were accused of stealing. What did God say to do with the silver and the gold? Bring it unto the tabernacle. Bring it unto me. That belongs to me. You know what? So many people try to steal from God. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Because God will take it back with interest. Read Malachi chapter 3. But they were accused of stealing. They were accused of dissembling. Now that's an interesting word, and I had to look that word up. And what that means is to hide under false pretense, to conceal, to pretend that not to be which really is. You see, God said, you've not only stolen, he said, you're pretending to be who you're not. You see, you say, well, why that's important? You know, the children of Israel, they went out as representatives of God. They were known as the children of God. They were known as Jews. They had a testimony to uphold. You know, all the people on the other side of Jordan, You know what they knew about? They knew about leaving Egypt. In fact, they were so afraid, even 40 years in the wilderness and a lot of people dying, they were so afraid of the children of Israel because of what they had heard on how God had delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And how God buried the Egyptians in the sea and defended them and took care of them. You see, by what Achan was doing, what he was doing is he was pretending to be something that he was not. He brought reproach upon Israel. And then the next thing that they were accused of, they have put it even among their own stuff. And you find all this back in Joshua chapter 6. And so I encourage you on your own time, please go back, read Joshua chapter 5, read Joshua chapter 6, and read Joshua chapter 7. Because all these accusations were brought up in Joshua chapter 6. And it says they even put it, they have put it even among their own stuff. You know, when we bring the world in and we mesh it together, that's not a good thing. That's never a good thing. Why do we make a stand, a firm stand here in our church on the Word of God and only using the King James Bible? Why do we do that? Well, because we don't want to bring in any outside influence. Why do we stand so strong on not bringing in ungodly contemporary music and worldly music into our church? Hey, we could go out and get a band, put them up here, and I guarantee you we'll double in size. But you know what God said? You know what the charge of God was here to the children of Israel? They put it, even the accursed thing, they put it even amongst their own stuff. You see, what God wanted for the children of Israel, what God wants for the church, is to be separated from the world. That's not only here on Sunday. That's Sunday to Sunday. God wants us to be separated. God wants us to be different. God wants us to be identified as a child of God. And when we try to mix the world in, you say, well, we don't do that in our church. Are you doing it at home? Achan did not sin publicly. He did it privately. He even hid it so no one would find out. But you know, there comes a day when wrong has to be righted. What Achan did, first of all, unbeknownst to the other soldiers, and I don't know if Achan was chosen that day to go into Ai or not, but 36 men went in with confidence, but because of sin, they lost their lives. There were about 3,000 men that went to war with confidence of coming out victoriously, walked away losing. Actually, didn't walk away, ran away losing. God was made a mockery of because now His people, instead of winning and being victorious, were running from the heathen. Sin always gets revealed. And in our scripture in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 24 through 26. Sin always gets revealed. Verse number 24, and Joshua and all of Israel took Achan and the son of Zerahiah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his ass and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Sin always gets revealed. Achan didn't get by with anything. In verse number 21, it's seen what he did. You know, Achan said here in verse number 21, he said, When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonian garment. You know how Achan got to where he was at? He was looking at stuff he shouldn't look at. And the Bible says, so then he coveted. And then he took. And then he hid the things. You know what he thought he had hid and covered up got revealed. You know, sin in the church, and I'm not talking about just in these four walls. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about each one of us saved, born-again people. When we've got sin in our life, you know what you can count on? One day it's going to be revealed. One day people are going to know exactly who you are and what you've done and what you've been doing. You see, that first of all, that's one of the joys of the devil. The devil lies to you and makes you think that, hey, what you're doing, go ahead. It's all right. No one's never going to know. Yes, they will. That's the joy of the devil, making a fool out of you and revealing your sin, making you as miserable as what he is. But there comes a time when sin is revealed, and when sin is revealed, sin will be judged and taken care of. In Achan's case, do you realize Achan lost everything? The consequences, sin has consequences. He lost everything. He lost all. He lost the garment, the silver, the wedge of gold. And those are just temporal things. Those are just worldly things. You know what else he lost? His sons, his daughters. You know, that hits right here. Because of his sin, what it cost him, his sons and his daughters. So he lost the things that he stole. He lost his sons and his daughters. He lost his ox. He lost his ass. He lost his sheep. He lost his tent. All that he had. You know, again, what God was doing is he was making a point. I want sin out of the camp of Israel. There's no place for the people of God and sin. In church, that's still true today. There's no place for sin and the people of God together. God wants them separated. God wants them apart. And the consequence of it is you're going to wind up losing all that you got. You know, I'm working. I'm going to get these things, and I'm going to have the silver and the garment, and I'm going to have the gold, and I'm going to have all the wonderful things. Is it worth the price of your sons? Is it worth the price of your daughter? Think about it. Is it really worth all of that? The sin that God's speaking to you about and dealing with your heart about this morning, is it going to be worth the price? All sin is guilty of death. The sentence for sin is death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Praise the Lord. We know that verse goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That was true in Joshua's day, and it's true today. Sin brings death. Sin brings separation. Sin brings heavy consequences. You know, it may not kill you right now, but you know what sin does? It separates the Christians from their relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that daily walk in the garden. That wonderful, peaceful time that you can have kneeling and praying and fellowshipping with the Lord, or just being alone in your car and break out singing Amazing Grace or something, and just having a wonderful, peaceful relationship with God. Sin puts a wall between that, because you can't mix the two. We try, but they don't mix. Oh, it may look good for a little while, but it doesn't last forever. Sin has a consequence. The sentence of sin is always death. Sin affects the whole house. Sin affects the whole household and the people around you. You know, you might be the master of your sin right now. And you might even escape through life and it not have that big of an effect on you. But what about the church? How's the church suffering? You say, well, now wait a minute, my sin isn't making the church suffer at all. Well, if your sin is keeping you from serving and being a Sunday school teacher, being a bus worker, or being involved and being a part of the church, just think about the souls that are not being reached because you're not where you are and what you're supposed to be doing. You say, now wait a minute, that ain't my fault. Yes, it is. Sin not only affects you, it affects the house of God. Sin not only affects the house of God, it also affects your own household and all the people around you. You see, because when we're off busy sinning, we're not busy serving and doing what God wants us to do. Because again, they don't mix. Just like I've shared the testimony with you before, my friend Don Bush. As we sat at the picnic table, drinking a beer. Actually, that was after several beers. Don looked at me and said, Mark, I know you're different than me. Will you tell me what the difference is? I could not bring myself to share the gospel with him because of the condition I was in. I never got another chance. He recognized I was different, but I never got a chance to tell him the difference. My sin affected him. And for all practical purposes, as far as I know, when Don Bush died, he went to hell. And I sat at his table and had the opportunity to make a difference. But you know why I couldn't? I was enjoying the Babylonian garment. I was enjoying the freedom of doing what I wanted to do. Well, you know, later on, God got a hold of my life. And I rededicated my heart to the Lord and very humbly stand before you today. But it didn't turn out that way for Don. What about your friends? What about your children? What about your neighbors? Is your sin going to affect them? Is your sin going to affect their eternity? Sin always does. Well, what do we do about it? Keep hiding it? No. Because you know why? Sooner or later, the devil's going to reveal it, and everybody's going to know about it. In fact, most everybody probably already does anyway. They're just too kind and too polite to point it out to you. What do we do about it? You know, that's what I love about the Word of God. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that verse was not written to the lost. That verse was written to the saved. You see, no matter where you are, no matter how bad it's gotten, you still have opportunity. You know why I know that? Because you're still breathing. You'll keep on that sin, and eventually God will move you out in an untimely death. But you have opportunity. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Why can He do that? We know that because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died for the sins of the world. He died so that we could be free. He died so that we would have the opportunity to get right. You know, see, Achan here didn't have that opportunity. Achan's sin was judged by death in the death of Achan and everything that he had and all of his children. You say, well, God and His grace and His wonder, you know, how could He do that? You know what that helps us realize? How God feels about sin. He hates it. He hated it then. He hates it now. But He loves the sinner. And I am so glad that I have the opportunity when I sin to go before my Savior, get on my knees and say, God, forgive me. I've done wrong. I messed up. Lord, help me deal with this situation in my life. Lord, help me to deal with what's going on in my life. Lord, forgive me. Help me to get victory over that. And some of the greatest struggles that I've had in my life, God delivered. God took care of. But the biggest struggle that I had is where I was going to spend my eternity when I died. 15-year-old boy, God took care of that. When I bowed down, I got on my knees, and Brother Preston, who was sitting beside me, very new Christian himself, didn't know where to turn to in the Bible, didn't know what to tell me. I've been in church all my life and heard the gospel all my life. And I just looked over and I told him, I said, Brother Preston, thank you. But I know what I've got to do. And I cried out to God to help me save my soul and give me a home in heaven. And from that day forward, all my sin, past, present, and future, nailed to the cross. What about you? Are you saved? Is there some doubt? Are you playing Christian? It will be revealed. You will not hide it. You may hide it here on this earth. You may even be put in a casket up here in the front, and we may all weep, and we all may say, well, one day we'll see you in heaven. But on judgment day, when you stand before God, He'll look at you and say, you depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you. You might be able to hide it from us, but you won't be able to hide it from God. Will you get saved today? Will you make today the day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not membership, not baptism, not good works, but in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary. That's the only way to heaven. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to make sure our church is right. And in order to do that as a whole, we need to make sure that each and every one of us every day make sure that we're not hiding sin. We need to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. We need to make sure that our lives are consecrated to Him. And if we'll do that, we'll have a lot of Jerichos. We'll have a lot of great victories. We'll have a lot of wonderful battles. We'll have a lot of times where we'll see people saved and people walk in the aisle and many great things happen. But if you keep it, and you keep going the way you're going and you keep hiding it, we're going to have some AI battles where innocent people are going to lose their life. And you're going to wind up losing everything you have. Can I ask you this morning, will it be worth it? That Babylonian garment that's hid in your tent, in the dirt, will it be worth it? The gold that you can't spend, the silver you can't use, will it be worth it? It won't be. It won't be. So you do as God would have you do. You all come, Brother Chuck, if you'll come, and we're going to have our invitation. And then after our invitation, we're going to have a business meeting, and I'm going to do my best to make it as short as we can possibly make it. I have a few things to discuss. But as God is dealing in your heart today, whatever that may be, I'm not asking you to come up here and stand in front of the church and confess your sin. No, that's not the way we do it. Because your sin is between you and God. You may be lost. I'm not asking you to come up here and confess before the church and say, I'm lost. But I would like to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Because again, it's between you and God. Now, we'll rejoice with you. In both cases, we'll rejoice with you. And the person that won't rejoice with you, well, they need to be standing beside you. And so whatever God leads you to do, will you do it? Let's everybody go ahead and stand to your feet and let's do our invitation.